You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. CP, welcome back!
What's up? Glad to be back. A little three-day weekend, a little rest and relaxation for the fantasy executive, but now I'm up and good, ready to go, raring. What a wild championship division round Sunday. I'm quite sure you guys discussed that in full yesterday, but you know, you just look at the best weekend of football, created a fantastic finish that will be remembered for a very long time.
Oh, yes, it will. Yeah, it will be. I just want to get your reaction before we move on, because obviously you weren't here yesterday. Your reaction to what you saw on Sunday evening.
Obviously, I've been saying all week, really been saying all season, this is the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Something is going to happen.
Right.
And it looked like we were headed well in that direction. Yep. Of something happening to the Minnesota Vikings.
That's all I was thinking when that happened. Yeah. You just kept saying that.
And then, boom, something happened. But it wasn't what normally happens to Minnesota Viking fans. I just remember seeing him, Stephon Diggs, spin off, and then everybody where I was at, like, oh, and then it was like complete pandemonium after that. But definitely excited to see that. You know, I feel real bad for Marcus Williams, though. Real tough spot that he was in, because obviously, you know, you're supposed to make that tackle, but more important than making that tackle is making not more important but the player is also thinking, do not let him get out of bounds to stop the clock,
right?
And I think that's what he was trying to do.
He took a shot, tried to keep him in bounds. If he makes contact, Diggs is down in bounds, game over, he's a hero.
There you go.
You feel bad for the kid. You feel very bad for him. What's going on, Matt?
It's another day closer to baseball. I'm getting really excited about that. To go back to Corey's point, though, I will stand by this. I think Williams got there too soon, tried to hold up to avoid the pass interference call. And look, if Diggs does catch that ball, he's probably getting tackled out of bounds. I don't know how he's getting tackled in bounds because he's right by the sideline.
You're most likely right. However, if you do look at the angle and Marcus Williams hits him, he's down in bounds. But theoretically, what you're saying is right.
I do like on social media he's getting support and
agree.
All that. Look,
agree.
It's one play. You can't define the kid by that. And, you know, social media can be
bad,
but it can be good.
I saw where, immediately after, about an hour or so after the game, his Instagram went private. Then it unlocked again, but he disabled comments. But it was death threats and stuff like that. But now you're seeing more people come in showing support for him. Obviously, he's a rookie. But this is something that could really affect the rest of his career. You look at, I can't think of the young man's name with the Joe Flacco play from a couple years ago.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
He was never the same.
Kobe Jones, what the hell, Raheem Morris?
Yes, Raheem Morris was never the same player after that.
He was never the same player after that. 100% true. 100% sure he was never the same player after that.
That game was crazy. That finish in most recent time. You can go back to the Raheem Morris play. Mm-hmm. But the Packers-Cardinals game, remember that playoff game?
Sure.
Where Rodgers was pinned at the goal line, and then Jeff Janis played. And they were going to lose.
they just threw a bomb at Jeff Janis, and all the free Janis truthers came out on Twitter.
Yes, they did.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some headlines. There's a lot of baseball in today's rundown somehow. I know one guy's going to be happy about that. One guy's probably not. We'll take a break. We'll talk more on the Roto Experts right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as I said. And the coaching carousel, well, we've kind of figured some stuff out. Pat Shurmur is the next head coach of the New York Giants. Corey.
Has that been announced?
They can't announce it because Minnesota's still in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the NFL account tweeted out that Pat Shurmur is expected to be the next head coach of the New York Giants.
Well, that's a good look. I think Pat Shurmur is probably the best fit for the New York Giants.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think
you're
that's the guy.
You're pretty anti that. You're pro that from your side.
Yeah, but even as a objective guy looking at it from you know, the fact that I despise the New York Giants, I think you want somebody that can come in there and work with that offense, especially you don't know what you're going to do at quarterback. Interesting to see if he brings Case Keenum with him. If I'm a New York Giant fan, I don't mind bringing Case Keenum with him. Well, I don't mind it.
We talked about this yesterday on the show. We made a whole video out of it, actually. That where they are now, I don't think the Vikings could get rid of Case Keenum.
Maybe he bring Teddy Bridgewater with him.
I think he could bring Sam Bradford. So there was talk for the Giants, like, bring Sam Bradford with him, because he's had Bradford the last three stops. He's had Bradford.
Yeah, but then Bradford is going to play three games.
I just think at that point you just keep Eli Manning.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. At that point you keep Eli Manning.
Exactly.
I think it's a fantastic hire for the Giants. I really do.
Okay.
I want him more than Josh McDaniels, to be honest.
So you've been the one that's been saying that.
And what the, like, look, the Giants, they can, you can, like, Shurmur, I think he said he's pretty, like, stress-free now. He had that gig in Cleveland, and somebody asked him, why are you, like, stress-free? He's like, if you coached in Cleveland, you'd know why. And having that, sometimes that second job is where guys, you know, are so much better. They know how to deal with the players, the media. Okay, the media in New York versus Cleveland is a whole different animal. But this is a guy that, when he took over for North Turner, this offense has gone the correct way. Mm-hmm. It's gone in the right direction. And look, he's lost his rookie running back. He lost the quarterback. But they've still, look, he has good players, but he's going to have good players with the Giants. And the Giants, you know, with the receiving core, the tight end, you sign Isaiah Crowell, a Carlos Hyde, or you draft a running back, you just got to get some linemen, which we've seen in the draft. We've seen teams like the Rams greatly improve.
Sure.
We've seen the Vikings greatly improve. So you can do it with a free agent and some draft picks. Mm-hmm. And look, maybe the Giants' defense wasn't as good as it was 2 years ago, where, you know, they made that run, they got better as the season went on, but they're not bad. Get rid of Eli Apple and, you know, make a move here or there. And I think the Giant team is right there to compete in the NFC East once again. And the Eagles went, from what we've heard from Dr. A, there's no sure thing that he's starting that season next year. At least doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, you've been pretty adamant about that. Listen, I think when Andy Reid, of course, went to KC, and they bring in Chip Kelly and whatnot. They made it very clear when they hired Doug Peterson, they wanted to go back to the Andy Reid model. And with the Giants' hire of Pat Shurmur, I think it's very clear that they're looking to go back to almost an inclusive NFC East type model, a guy that they believe is an NFC East type of guy. I don't think it hurts that Pat Shurmur had been a Philly guy for so long, been under Andy Reid for so long, left, came back, worked under Chip Kelly for a couple of years here. They believe this dude, and one of the qualifications for getting the job was being battle-tested in a situation like this. I think when it comes to your boy Steve Wilks, he doesn't have this type of experience in this type of role. I think they were afraid of it blowing up in their faces like the McAdoo thing did. And I think with Shurmur, they believe, and they would listen, they would have went with McDaniels if he took the job. They would have went with Patricia if he took the job. But with Shurmur, I think they feel that even out of all three of those guys, he's probably the safest for what they're looking for.
Yeah, no, and the one thing, if you look at the Vikings offense, they had the two wide receivers, the tight end. The Giants are lacking in the running back department, but that's one of the easiest ways to rectify your team. You know, there's going to be running backs out there, you know, so you can get that. So, and nobody thought the Vikings were like this high-powered offense. They had weapons. So I think you draft the quarterback at two. You have to stay that route. Mm-hmm. Even if you play him half a season or you don't even play him, you saw what, like, Goff and Wentz in their rookie seasons. Goff was god-awful. Wentz started out hot, then kind of fell back and was kind of disappointing towards the end. But year two, Jared Goff had, the NFL's best offense. Wentz got hurt in week 13, but he had, like, 30 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. So you saw that progression, and I think, you know, if you can make that transition, I think Eli's trash, but you can keep Eli, you know, on the books for another year to mentor. And
sure.
And it makes the fans happy, particularly Maria Marino. She looks like she's about to cry, you know, whenever you talk about Eli leaving the Giants.
Listen, I think it makes a lot of sense if Shermer can convince Eli to stick around for another year. Mm-hmm. Just train whoever it is. I agree with you. The number two pick, you draft the quarterback, is, you know, the Giants, say what you want, Core, but they're not number two very often.
No, they're not going to be number two very often. This is a situation where, you're right. I think this is a situation where you got this kind of draft stock. You look to go ahead and draft a top-notch quarterback coming out. A franchise guy, faced with a franchise quarterback to move and transition past Eli Manning and get into the next era of New York Giant football. The thing about it is, though, if you miss on a quarterback, you know what happens?
Your franchise set back 5 years.
4 years from now, you're doing it again.
Correct. And so you have to hit it.
You have to hit it. So hopefully they got the right people in place, the smart people in place, and they got a hell of a job right here, because I don't like the two kids at the top of the board.
Yeah, I know you don't like Darnold and Rosen. Trent Dilfer actually kind of made the rounds yesterday. I think it was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday. And he was basically saying, listen, I had Josh Rosen as a kid at my camp when he was, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And this kid was a punk ass, you know what? And I hated
him.
It's
not nice.
I hated him. He hated me, and he was horrible. He came back and coached our kids this year, and he's basically a changed man. Like, he grew up. He matured. He is a winner. He's a star, blah, 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 blah. Trent Dilfer said he's not for everyone. Half the GMs won't have him on their board, but Josh Rosen is the real deal.
And here's the thing. Like, I was hearing a lot yesterday about looking at this Final Four in the championship. How, you know, the elite quarterbacks own Tom Brady. If you go back 2 days ago, 3 days ago to this weekend, Drew Brees was one play away from being there.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger was maybe a couple of fourth down calls away from being there. Matt Ryan was a pass away from being there. So we could have had pretty much all four there. And it's going to happen. There's going to be seasons where, you know, a really good defense can carry you into the Super Bowl and stuff like that. But for the most part, I don't care what you say, you want to have that quarterback. It's still a quarterback-driven league, and that is the way you can sustain being a good team for a decade.
Now, Corey, I think one thing that's interesting, and you've been on it all year, is that blood feud between Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger. And you kind of called it out last year when Roethlisberger was threatening to retire. You're like, he just doesn't want to work with Todd Haley anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he hates Todd Haley, and he wants nothing to do with him. And after those fourth down debacles this week, I think Roethlisberger realized, well, this guy's not going to make it. So he's just like, yeah, I'll be back for years.
Yeah.
And Todd Haley, whose contract is up, he's like to be back.
I think it's a good chance you don't see Todd Haley back in Pittsburgh next year. Now, for what we do as fantasy football owners, that's tough. Because, listen, we don't got to work with Todd Haley, but we like what Todd Haley does. We know it's Antonio Brown. We know it's Le'Veon Bell. We know what the Pittsburgh Steelers can do, how fantasy football friendly they are. A lot of that has to do with Todd Haley. And if that's different, we're going to have some tough choices to make when we get later on in the year, in July and August.
I tell you, that press conference with Ben, that was fantastic. I mean, I don't watch all the press conferences.
Right, of course.
But he really basically threw Haley under the bus, was pretty much blaming him, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm going to say that. Look, Ben is a big dude. And when you got fourth and one, and some of these calls, a toss to the outside.
Andy Reid.
Going deep.
Jet sweep.
I mean,
listen, I like aggressive play callers. I like fourth and one, going for the long shot, fourth and two, stuff like that. But some
But when in certain situations, when the game gets to a certain point, you need that 1 yard or so. I mean, we saw Drew Brees going for a quarterback sneak, and Drew Brees is a pint-sized quarterback. Ben's a big guy. We see Tom Brady consistently do it. I mean, I don't know. Even if you want to give it to Bell, you go and toss sweep. It was very questionable there. As good as Jacksonville played, I think the Steelers really had opportunities in the game to definitely, that second half at least, to take it. They were unable to either sustain drives, and that TJ Yeldon play was he looked like he was going to get
absolutely
tackled, got out of it, kept his
and
balance.
You know what's crazy about that? That was obviously Ryan Shazier's position, and Ryan Shazier probably makes that tackle.
Yeah,
you know,
that,
you don't
that
know for
really
sure,
is the biggest. That really is the thing that changed their season, because defensively they were never the same.
No, it's true. So as we went off the air yesterday, you guys started talking about baseball players from, you know, God knows where. we kind of broke the news that Mike Mularkey didn't sign an extension. In fact, he was fired. We're going to talk about that and turn on the cameras as we do. I know Corey's going to have a lot to say about that. When we come back, it's YouTube Live, Mike Mularkey out in Tennessee. We'll break it down for you coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
My name is Greg Sausman, and welcome inside Studio 34. To my right, the fantasy executive, Corey Parsons.
Yep.
To my left, it is Wall Street Matt Modica. And it's amazing how quickly things can change in the NFL.
Not for long.
Not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. Now, yesterday morning, at pretty much this exact time, we were talking about how the Titans were being stupid. And they were giving an extension to Mike Mularkey after winning one playoff game. And Matt, you're like, listen, that one playoff game win is going to cost them the next 3 years of their franchise. And yet, 2 hours later, as we're signing off our show, Field Yates reports Mike Mularkey is no longer the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And then there's a lot of backlash for Ian Rappaport, who does get some things wrong, but saying, dude, you reported getting an extension 2 hours ago. Like,
yeah,
that's a bad look, Ian Rappaport. And then the story clearly comes out that the owners wanted to keep him. The general manager from the beginning, John Robinson, who comes over from New England, didn't want anything to do with him. Whatever, they sat down, the owners, they own the team, so they're going to get their way. But GM convinced them there needs to be changes. And they asked him. They asked Mike Mularkey, they go, do you feel like your offense and Marcus Mariota, and he's an offensive guy, do you feel like he's made enough progress? And they're like, yeah, he made a lot of progress. And he shows them these stats where, like, only threw more interceptions and less touchdowns, and you ran for less yards, and you did all these things worse. How did he make progress? No. He made all this great progress. And the GM's like, no.
The numbers don't lie.
Pretty much. The numbers don't lie. He didn't make progress. Like, you know, are you willing to make some changes to your staff? Mike Mularkey's like, changes to my staff? Are you nuts? Like, we made all this progress. We made the playoffs. We won a game. And John Robinson's like, again, numbers don't lie, man. Like, he didn't make progress. Like, you have to fire Terry Robiskie, your 94-year-old offensive coordinator. You probably have to fire Dick LeBeau, your
on MLK Day.
Your 170-year-old defensive coordinator. You're probably going to need to make some changes. And he's like, no.
Loyal to a fault right here.
I'm going
to
stick with my guy.
And I figured this is how they were going to spin it once it happened. I figured they were going to come in there and tell him, listen, we want to gut the whole thing, get rid of the entire staff. Mike Mularkey, as the money guy, the head coach, he probably was like, I cannot send them into this. Because you're sending your staff into a offseason where people are already getting jobs.
Sure.
So your guys are behind the curve.
Right.
So he said, you know what? If they got to go, I'm going to. And they decided to do it mutually. Listen, you can give props to him for doing that, because he stepped up and he's like, you know what? They don't have a job and I don't have a job either.
I think he deserves props for that.
Yeah, he deserves props. All you can say, listen, you keep your job and get a new staff in here, because you really didn't deserve to be here. But playoff win in the spot where nobody thought they were going to win. Obviously, New England, very tough to go up there and get a W, but it does need to be some changes on this offense.
Yeah, and they're gonna make him. I think he does deserve props for that, for basically not putting himself before his friends, really.
Yeah.
The guys that he brought in that he believes in, and the GM and the owner ultimately said, you need to make these changes. He's like, nah, I'm good. Now he's out of a job. That's probably stupid, I guess, Matt, but you know what? From the beginning, loyalty to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I respect loyalty. That's
right.
A big characteristic for me.
Okay.
At this, but in this, for him to be able to keep the job, I would have been like, guys, I love you. He gave him the opportunity.
Yeah.
They want to. I'm somehow being kept by this team. Look, it's still a good team, the Titans. They, you know, a couple of moves here or there, and they should be competing for that division once again next year. That being said, I do like that he will not be back. If I am a Titans fan,
right,
it's a good day. And the fact that one of the first things you see is that they're going to interview Matt LaFleur, I like that a lot, too. I'm a big proponent of these young minds. He's worked with, what's his name on the Rams?
Sean McVay, Jared Goff, yeah.
So he's, you know, this is what you want to see. You have a young quarterback here who needs to make that next step, needs to kind of stay healthy. You have weapons. You drafted Corey Davis last year. You have the running back in Henry who's ready to take that next step. Malarkey's problem, too, was Henry had some deficiencies as well, but he was loyal to a fault with DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
I mean, at some point, you had to say, look, you need to at least take a game or two off, get fully healthy. You know, you're kind of hurting the team more than you're helping the team right now. So, in going forward for the organization, I think it's a good thing. I understand trying to stay loyal with your guys, but look, the NFL is only a finite amount of opportunities to coach. And, you know, Malarkey should have... Look, I think he was lucky to even be able to stay. I mean, Dick LeBeau's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Rubisky's been around forever.
Correct.
So these weren't guys that are like new guys. You know, these guys could have went off into the sunset.
Sure.
Yeah, and Rubisky really can go off into the sunset. And LeBeau, too. It's not like these guys, you know... Like, Rubisky's been doing this for a long time as well as Dick LeBeau. But still, you know what I mean? You got a situation where... I mean, look at that, Greg. You're looking at it. You're looking at his Wikipedia now. When did he start coaching in 71?
So listen, I have Terry Rubisky's Wikipedia up. Corey's right. Just to see how long it's been. He was a special teams assistant, his first coaching job, with the Los Angeles Raiders in 1982.
There you go.
And I'm just like...
Terry Rubisky is not short any money.
You know what's crazy? Marcus Mariota wasn't born in 1982.
There you go.
And I'm like, I get having old school guys trying to teach these new school players, but it's not the NFL anymore.
It's not that NFL anymore.
It's not that guy. You know,
The ownership realized that. The general manager realized that.
He was an interim head coach of the Redskins in 2000.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm
a Titans fan,
Deion Sanders was on that team.
Correct.
There you go.
Correct.
If I'm a Titans fan, props to the GM for making this push.
Yeah.
And being aggressive with it, not stepping back and having the owner, you know,
pretty
much telling the owner, look, this is what we need to do. If we're going to keep you want him to be the guy, we have to clean house here. Like you said, Rubisky, LeBeau. These are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Dick LeBeau was great.
Terry Rubisky was the Raiders offensive coordinator before Tim Brown was drafted.
There you go.
Before Tim Brown was drafted.
Before Tim Brown, a Hall of Famer. Before he was drafted.
It's crazy.
You can't just clog up these spots forever.
No, and certainly not with his youth. Now, I will bring up this point, Corey, that we were talking about Norv Turner last week, and you're like, listen, I'm okay with Norv. And Norv's, he's older than Terry Rubisky, but at least he's had some more success than Terry Rubisky.
He's had more success, and you've seen him put, especially what he's done with quarterbacks and stuff like that. When you're a one-on-one type of coach like that, when you're like, okay, listen, I'm attached to this quarterback,
right.
I think it's a little bit different.
I agree
He's just a coach.
Yeah.
He's just a coach.
Yeah.
He's not really a specialist.
I'm not even crazy about
the Norv
signing there.
Neither am I.
With Cam, because Cam is not that
might
quarterback
be wrong fit.
For him.
You're right.
Yeah, I think it's just a wrong fit. You can't make Cam something.
Norv is probably better with a guy like Jameis.
I agree with that. A bigger arm that can push it downfield. That makes a lot more sense. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But Dirk Cutter is like, I'm Norv.
He did survive.
He survived. Yeah, exactly. So,
I wonder if Jameis signed off on that.
He had to have. I don't know that he had to have. That's not true.
I think he did because, you know, it's regardless if he regressed this year or not and all that.
He's still the franchise.
He's got power. So. I'm sure they sat down and talked.
Okay, so in regards to Tennessee, the rumor immediately upon firing John Robinson, we kind of talked about this for a couple of minutes yesterday, the firing of Mike Malarkey by John Robinson was, well, you know, Josh McDaniels is... They were just in New England, and he's friends with Josh McDaniels.
If I was Josh McDaniels, I would jump on this job.
And that was the reaction by everybody. So the problem is then the Indianapolis Colts, and obviously Jim Irsay was like, dude, WTF, like, don't effing do that. We have a deal. So the rumor immediately sneaks out that he's going to Tennessee. Hours later, as Ian Rappaport reports the Pat Shurmur news to the Giants, he also reports that it's a done deal, McDaniels to the Colts. Jim Irsay obviously made it clear to McDaniels, this is it. You make the decision today, right now, you're done. And I think he did.
I mean, I get what you're saying with the situation in Tennessee as opposed to the situation in
Indy.
But I'm optimistic for Andrew Luck. Sure. Maybe that's what it is. And Andrew Luck's a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota.
Oh, without a doubt. But I think we're talking injury optimism.
Yeah, you're right.
Irsay's nuts. Like, Irsay would be like, Irsay have a bounty on McDaniels. He didn't sign that paper. It was like in The Godfather.
Pretty much.
The paper.
Yeah. That's exactly what this was. So now they're going to have to go another direction. Supposedly, this was never about Josh McDaniels. Albert Breer wrote this morning for Sports Illustrated, or I should say yesterday for Sports Illustrated. But what direction do they go? You've heard Steve Wilkes' name mentioned, mainly because he's a black guy, so they have to bring him in.
Yeah.
Listen, Corey said this from the beginning, that he's going to be the black guy that every team interviews this year. That maybe he gets a job, but probably not. Like that's been your thing all year.
In all seriousness, even if Wilkes walks away with zero job this offseason, I think he'll be very prepared, and it will set him up nice. Look, you want to meet with these owners. You want to meet with these GMs. And if he's being used, that's unfortunate, but I think it's giving him that preparation.
He knows everybody in the NFL now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He knows everybody in the NFL now.
He's going to be a guy that is going to be on the top of people's minds.
Yep.
The one issue with Steve Wilkes is that, like, he should have been a shoo-in for this Giant job, right? Like, it was the general manager that knew him, the general manager that brought him in, that wanted him, and the owners are like, but this he's not even our top three.
The league is so much slanted towards offense right now.
You're absolutely right.
And he doesn't coach offense.
You're absolutely right.
So now you got to come with a guy that can be, okay, you got a situation where you need your quarterback fixed. My guy right here is known for fixing quarterbacks.
That's what I like about what the Giants are doing. Instead of going back to that old-time Giant mold, get the offensive guy, and you can do what the Rams did with McVay, and you get your Wade Phillips or somebody like that, you know, pay him extra.
So I don't think Pat Shurmur needs that because he's been a head coach before, and he commands a little bit more than an early 30s McVay. I think the example of that is Matt LaFleur, right? So that's who Tennessee's bringing in now. Josh McDaniels not available. They're bringing in Matt LaFleur, who's basically been attached at the hip with Kyle Shanahan for years until he goes with McVay to the Rams. It basically is little McVay now. That's what people are thinking. He's another Josh McVay. LaFleur goes to Tennessee, and people like Matt are like, ooh, I like that.
I mean,
that's
a guy that brings me to the offensive league. That you got to put up points. You need these guys like Peterson with the Eagles. They were aggressive. Fourth and twos. They were going on it all year
long.
Loved it. And you saw Saturday night down 14-7, the Titans. It's on what? The Patriots 47,
yeah.
And they punted
away.
How the hell do you? You are a two touchdown underdog. You're on their side of the field. You have to go for it.
Hey, Steve Wilkes, you want to get a job this go around? Do not tell these people you bringing Mike Mularkey with you.
True story. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday Mike Mularkey could be a good fit as the offensive coordinator in Cleveland.
Oh God.
With you. We'll take a break and talk to the king right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We are back with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, why not check out Fantasy Factor? It is the perfect daily fantasy site for you, the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. The free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. With that, we bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today, who hosts it every single weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern. He's also the co-host of the Fantasy Sports News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's the King, Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning. Busy, busy morning. It was obviously a lot of NBA yesterday and an interesting Clippers-Houston game.
Yes, those things happened yesterday. Indeed, a full slate of NBA action. We'll get to the Clippers and the Rockets coming up a little bit later on in today's show. No Overwatch update today, Scott?
The league will resume tomorrow, and the League of Legends will start on the 20th.
There you go, a little esports action for you. If you head on over to sportsgrid.com right now, my guy David Ganos, late last week, came out with how many of the seven dumbest fantasy football moves in 2017 did you make? And I was really interested to see this, because I'm somebody that, while winning a championship, and feels good, my bank account feels better, the trophy in my hand feels good, I made some poor decisions. You know, I did, admittedly so. So, Scotty, you, sir, are also a champion in what you have called the biggest win of your career. And I wanted to know how many of these mistakes you made as well, if we may.
Sure.
All right. So, I want to know the number one thing that David Gano said you should not do, fantasy football, was waste a late-round pick on an old fart, like an Adrian Peterson, a Marshawn Lynch, something like that. Did you do this anywhere?
I'm not saying I didn't do it anywhere, but I can't recall off the top of my head anywhere.
Oh, I can. You drafted Eddie Lacy, so there's one of them.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy wasn't an age thing, though. It was more of like, it just like he was just a complete bust.
Right.
You know, Marshawn Lynch, like 33-year-old running back, Adrian Peterson deep into the career. I can't recall anywhere that I did it. I was very into Marshawn Lynch for a long
yes,
time.
Yes, you were. You and I were together on that one, so that was good. Okay, so you didn't do that. That's perfect. So that's why you were a champion in that one league. Number two, avoiding the guys with injury risks. I think this is a good one. I think you actually did a really good job with this. So players with injury risks that always come to mind are Gronk and Jordan Reed and Kelvin Benjamin. Now, those are the guys that obviously struggled for most of this year. Well, not Gronk, but certainly Jordan Reed and Kelvin Benjamin. But other players like Keenan Allen, Zach Ertz, those guys kind of stepped up. Now, where were you with these injured guys in 2017?
I avoided the Gronks and the Reeds, etc. If I felt like they were a major risk, but it all depended on where you got these guys too. Like if some of them slipped to the later rounds, I wasn't averse on taking a guy if I thought maybe he could have a bounce back season. I grabbed Keenan Allen in like the third round in one of my leagues where I made the final four. I certainly didn't steer clear of him either.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you bring up the number, that brings up to me the number three point that David Ganos writes about over at sportsgrid.com. And that's, you made a mistake if you're not loading up on young running backs. And we've talked a lot since the season has ended about how this is now once again a running back league. Everybody wants their bell cat. At the first round, went from a majority of wide receivers to being back to being a majority of running backs. And I'll say this, Scotty, there was nobody higher on some of these younger running backs for better or worse than you. You were extremely high on Kareem Hunt. You were extremely high on Samaje Perine. Now, one of those worked out. Obviously, one did not. You were more into some of these younger guys than the older guys.
Yeah, I certainly was. And I went Dalvin Cook in at least two leagues because I saw real opportunity for these guys. You know, the NFL today, these organizations are definitely willing to give the running backs an immediate chance to win the job. So that's why. And the talent was there. The opportunity was there. Yes, I was wrong on P. Ryan, but drafting Kareem Hunt actually led to a championship because I got him in this, I believe, the sixth round.
Yeah, you did, and that was yeah, absolutely massive for you on your way to that championship. And that actually leads me to the next thing, which we talked a lot about as we got closer to the draft last year. And you can read, of course, all of this over at sportsgrid.com. And that was stupid thing number four: thinking DeMarco Murray had another good year in him. And Scott, you were extremely, extremely high on DeMarco Murray until, you know, the last week or two of the season, where you had read from a beat reporter or a reporter that you trusted that was out there that's like, listen, his hamstring is not 100%. And a day after having him ranked as your fourth-ranked running back, you dropped him all the way to number nine. And we were like, wait a minute. What are you doing? You believe in him. You got to stick with him. And you're like, listen, I trust this guy. He's telling me that he's not healthy. I have to believe that. And for your credit, Scott, you did, and it worked out very well for you.
Well, it didn't in one, because I drafted him in a dynasty league like 2 weeks before this news came out, so it didn't work out so well for me, you know, in that regard. I was very high on him because I felt like the offensive line was very good. He was coming off a great year. Then Chris Wessling of NFL.com reported he had a significant hamstring injury, and then Dr. A backed it up with other stuff. So I said, well, I can't believe in this guy anymore. He's too banged up.
Yeah, you know, ultimately, that's why I always like drafting closer to the NFL season, because you get more and more information. We also made a grave error of drafting DeMarco Murray in the first round at one point. So, listen, the errors were there, but I thought as we got closer, what you did made a lot of sense to me. Number five, not picking up Alvin Kamara before week five. Yeah, that was a mistake. Now, Alvin Kamara is somebody that I drafted because we had talked about him on the show, and I wound up dropping him before week five, and that was a poor mistake by me.
Yeah, I traded for him like a little bit right after that, and it ended up taking me deep into the fantasy playoffs, and I had the most points in that league because of Alvin Kamara.
So Alvin Kamara obviously led many players to a fantasy championship. Stupid thing number six, according to David Ganos: believing the hype on the wrong young quarterbacks. And I think this is a direction that a lot of people struggled in. Buying in on a Jameis Winston, buying in on a Marcus Mariota. That was a mistake that crushed a lot of fantasy owners in 2017.
Well, I think I was all over the board on this one. I was not high on Mariota. I thought Winston could be a top 10, and then I ranked Carson Wentz inside my top 8 in the preseason.
Carson Wentz was your sleeper a lot of the way, Scotty.
Yep.
He obviously was a young quarterback you wanted. You absolutely wanted to get early, and you did, and he was your guy. Jameis Winston, like you said, kind of all over the map with that one, unfortunately.
I actually didn't end up with Wentz in a single league.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
Huh.
Because I would always take my starting quarterback around 6 or 7, and then I wouldn't take the backup to, like, the next to last round, and usually he was gone by then. Like, usually I would get my starting quarterback, like a Kirk Cousins, in round 8, and then Wentz would inevitably go as a little bit later.
Really? There you go. So that worked out okay for you.
It did. You know, I was able to win despite not having Carson Wentz, and then it became tough to win without Wentz.
Right, of course.
Because he got injured.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The final dumb fantasy football move you could have made in 2017, according to David Giannis, was drafting a Patriots running back. You know, it's interesting. We talked to James White a lot, and Rex Burkhead, and Mike Gillisley, and the one name nobody wanted was the guy that dominated all year for the Patriots, and that was Deion Lewis. And nobody drafted Deion Lewis this year after, you know, not one get involved. And it worked out pretty poorly for you if you drafted Mike Gillisley as early as he was going. I drafted Rex Burkhead, and I couldn't hold on to him because he was injured for so long, despite the touchdown run that he would go on. James White, who was hot early, he cooled off. If you drafted a Patriots running back, you made a mistake because the one guy you wanted, he wasn't drafted.
I didn't draft a single running back from the Patriots. I picked up Deion Lewis maybe in about week 5 or 6, I want to say, and then flipped him in my Alvin Kamara trade in my dynasty league.
So that worked out okay then.
I didn't have any other. I didn't own any of the other Patriots running backs in 9 leagues this year.
How about that? That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. So that worked out. That worked out well, Scotty, for you.
I didn't want any of the guys where they were necessarily going.
Right.
I wouldn't have drafted the guys, but you know, I would have said, okay, I'll take Rex Burkhead in the 12th round, and then inevitably he would go 2 rounds earlier.
Right. And it just never went in the direction that you were prepared to take him in.
No.
Yeah, and that was the deal. There you go, Scotty. Matt, that is David Gatto's top 7 dumb fantasy football moves you could have made in 2017. For all the reasons behind what Gatto's was saying, that's all over at sportsgrid.com. So there you go. Scotty, I look forward to hearing you on the Fantasy News Desk a little bit later on today.
All right. We'll have a lot to talk about with all these with all these coaching moves that are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about it at the top of our show here, certainly with Mike Mularkey and Pat Shurmur and Josh McDaniels headed to Indianapolis. We'll talk more about that throughout the program coming up today. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk to Matt Modica about the trade that went down in Major League Baseball yesterday. Gerrit Cole was only the first shoe with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Andrew McCutchen was next, and they didn't waste any time. We'll get Matt's thoughts on the Andrew McCutchen trade when we return. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As we said before the break, Gerrit Cole was the first shoe to drop in Pittsburgh. It certainly wasn't going to be the last, as I think you're going to see trade after trade now with the Pittsburgh Pirates. The first was Gerrit Cole. The next was their other cornerstone, and that was Andrew McCutchen. He's long the cornerstone. He was the centerpiece, the center fielder, the star for Pittsburgh for a long time as they made this renaissance, making the playoffs for the first time in a billion years, never getting out of that first round. But, you know, making the playoffs for the first time in a while, and long rumored to be headed to San Francisco, that's exactly where he's headed. McCutchen was traded yesterday to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for Brian Reynolds and Kyle Crick. The Pirates only had to chip in like $2.5 million, something like that. So Reynolds and Crick go to Pittsburgh. McCutchen goes to San Francisco. Matt, your thoughts on Andrew McCutchen headed to the San Francisco Giants?
Look, for the Giants, I think this is a good move. I know he's 31, but he had a really good year last year. He started off slow. Got back on track. He had a McCutchen-type season. This is a guy who was the face of a franchise for the Pirates. You know, shout out to him. He's been fantastic. He had 4 seasons where he was either first, third, or fifth in MVP voting. I mean, his 4-year average was pretty damn impressive from 22 to 2015. And I like the move for the Pirates. For the Giants. Is he a center fielder? Not really anymore. You know, the defensive metrics have gone down with age. But if you look at the Giants over their World Series run, it was never a really fantastic offense, but this helps Buster Posey. If Brandon Belt could ever stay healthy, I mean, this man has been obliterated with concussions. Kane is an interesting add if they get him, Lorenzo Kane.
Yep.
But he's another guy, 31. Is he on the downside of being a center fielder? I mean, I wouldn't go more than 3 years on Kane. I'd be a little hesitant. I don't like getting guys at that age that are based on speed. But for me, this team is setting themselves up to be a force once again in the West after just a dismal season. And it's going to come down to their pitching.
So you said, and we talked yesterday because you were deciding between Andrew McCutchen and Eric Hosmer. You wound up taking Eric Hosmer in a league. And you really all offseason have been a proponent of Andrew McCutchen kind of finding it again in 2018. As you said, he wound up having a really good year. He got off to a slow start and then really turned it around the last, you know, two-thirds, I'd say, of the season. You think even in San Francisco, you know, a pretty big ballpark, he's going to have success?
Yeah, no, I do. Because, I mean, PNC suppressed power as well. And if you look at just the plate discipline last year, the strikeout percentage went down, the walks went up, and, you know, he's 31. He just turned 31. It's not like he's 34 years old on the downswing. He's still... Last year, I mean, look at the numbers he put up last year. It was a pretty impressive season. You know, 28 home runs. That's the second most he's ever hit in a season. I know everybody was hitting home runs. But he also put up 94 runs, 88 RBI, stole double-digit bases. So, you know what? This team, from where the Giants were last year, what they're doing now, look, you got question marks. Can Hunter Pence stay on the field? He seems like a shell of his former self. The once Iron Man, he always drafted him because he would never get hurt. But you need to make this run. Bumgarner, I give him a mulligan. I think Cueto, look, I don't know if Cueto is going to be what Johnny Cueto was in the past. I think Cueto will still be good. Samardzija will give you the innings. If he can ever pitch to his peripherals, you know, you can do some damage.
Sticking with Andrew McCutchen, though, because I don't want to get too deep into the Giants in general, but where should Andrew McCutchen be drafted in 2018?
I think in that, you know, sixth round.
In the sixth round.
That's where he's kind of going. Ended fifth, early, middle, sixth. And for me, it really was a tough situation. I just took Hosmer because I think the batting average floor. But what are you expecting from McCutchen? I'm expecting like 280, 20-plus homers. You know, give you the 80, 90 runs in RBIs.
Okay, so you're taking him around. You feel comfortable taking him around the sixth round. We have 30 seconds left. What do you think of the return that the Pirates got?
I think in both cases it was subpar, but they kind of put themselves in that position.
Which is a tough spot to be in when you're too late on Andrew McCutchen.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. A little more football, a lot more baseball to come. We'll turn the cameras on and go live on television when we return. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.